Is Jesus really the true Messiah? Should we be looking for another? Does Bible prophecy show us beyond any doubt how we know if Jesus is the true Messiah? Listen carefully. Pastor Tucker is going to lead us into the longest and most amazing time prophecy in the Bible.
Thank you, Roy. And today, I appreciate the opportunity to share a very important truth with you. And for that, we need to go, first of all, to our opening text, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. If you have a Bible close by, I invite you to take it, and we're going to be looking very quickly, but you'll have the opportunity to review this video, no doubt, again and again until you get it. Let's notice what the Bible says here in this first text, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, the Bible makes it very plain that He is the man, Christ Jesus. But you ask, is He really the Christ, the divine Son of God? I want proof, proof for myself, and proof for my friends. Well, here is abundant proof. He fills all history. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. The Bible is alive, and it's an ever-living book because it reveals Jesus, the living one. Friend, if you want a real drama, vibrant, thrilling stories, you'll find it in this book, the Holy Bible. In this book, we find prophecy, there's poetry, there's history, there's law, there's many other subjects. But the objective of it all is to reveal the living one, Christ Jesus. Now, the claims of Christ are tremendous. What does He say for Himself? He says much. He claims much. Either it is true or false. Either He is all that He claims to be, or He is the world's greatest imposter. Now let's note just a few of the many claims that Jesus made for Himself. He claimed to be God. He claimed pre-existence. Glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. John 17:5. In other words, He claimed to be the long-looked-for Messiah. He said that He was infallible, declaring that before His words would fail, heaven and earth would pass. He claimed to be without sin. Think of that. He claimed omnipresence, for He said, Lo, I am with you always. He claimed foreknowledge, the ability to predict coming events. He claimed to forgive sins. He claimed to know the very hearts of men, what they were thinking. And then He claimed to be able to give rest and peace to troubled hearts. And there are millions today that will testify that He does just that. For He says, Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Millions have found this rest in Jesus. No one has ever made such claims as He did. Either it's all true, or else I say He's the world's biggest imposter. But friend, it's all true. He is our divine Savior and is able to save to the uttermost. Yes, we can be sure. And here is even greater proof, I believe. Open to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start with the 16th verse. You have it there? For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Verse 17, For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Isn't that marvelous? He said, We were there. We saw Him. We felt Him. We walked with Him. We slept with Him. We've spent time with this wonderful Savior. We know Him to be sure. But now He says, I want to give you even something more certain than that. Now look at verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You see, He says, we have also what? And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, he says. In other words, we offer prophecy as the greatest proof of the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, to understand Bible prophecy, we need to realize that a day in time prophecy equals a year in literal time. Just as carpenters in a building of a house will find written upon blueprints a scale, 1/4 inch equals 1 foot, and so on. So God has his scale, his yardstick by which we are to measure the time periods in Bible prophecy. For in Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, notice what it says there. It says, I have laid on you a day for each year. Now that's very clear. We want to consider today one of the Bible's most beautiful prophecies, I believe. The prophecy that has done more for my own soul, I suppose, than any other prophecy. We're going to take you to the book of Daniel, chapter 8. Here is the most marvelous Bible prophecy that will establish, I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the divinity of this wonderful man of destiny, Christ Jesus. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, verse 12, we find a religious political power that is going to cast God's truth to the ground concerning the heavenly sanctuary. It's going to practice, it's going to prosper. Notice these words over here. Verse 12. An army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then notice verse 13. The question is asked, how long is this power going to practice and prosper that cast the truth to the ground? Back comes the answer in verse 14. For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Now the truth of God's sanctuary was to be cast to the ground. In verse 13, the question, how long will the truth be trampled into the dust? Back comes the answer, for 2,300 days. And using God's prophecy yardstick, we find that 2,300 days would equal how much time? 2,300 years, that's right. But Daniel faints when he sees what was to transpire during this long time period. He saw the horrible death and crucifixion of his long-looked-for Messiah. He faints, but the Bible says that he recovers and he begins to do the king's business. But he was much troubled about the vision of the 2,300 days. So Daniel began to pray, and while Daniel was still praying, Gabriel came down and said, and we can read it in Daniel chapter 9, O Daniel, I have now come, that's verse 22, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. And as we read the next verse, he's coming to explain the matter concerning the vision. And this is what the angel Gabriel says in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So now we have 70 weeks. When it says 70 weeks are determined, that means 70 weeks are actually cut off from that 2,300-day year prophecy. Now, how many days are in a week? There's seven. So 7 times 70 equals how much? 490. 490 days, according to Bible prophecy, applying that day for a year principle, we come to 490 years. So 490 years are cut off from the 2,300 span of time. But when does it all begin, we ask? Where do we start this measuring time? Notice the 25th verse. And before we read that verse, you'll want to perhaps follow along in your study guide where it has the chart there, and you can see how it all fits in to a perfect whole there. Verse 25 says, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. So now we know when it's going to begin. It says, when the commandment goes forth to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be. Now how much time? It says 7 weeks and 62 weeks, a total of 69 weeks. And so this period of time listed in this 25th verse, it's just 1 week less than the 70 weeks. In other words, it's going to be a total of 69 weeks. So how many years is that? Well, if you multiply 69 weeks by 7, it gives us 483 days, or 483 years when you apply the principle. From the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince would be 483 years. Well, what's the starting point? When did the commandment go forward? Well, if we turn back to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 7, in the 7th verse, it says, in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. Notice as we read on here to the 12th and 13th verse, it says, Artaxerxes, King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heavens, perfect peace, and so forth. Verse 13, I issue a decree that all those of the people of Israel and the priests and Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. Here we find a decree that is given by Artaxerxes to go and build Jerusalem. This, by the way, is the third decree that is given. It is the final decree before action took place. Now, we read in that first verse there in Ezra that it was the 7th year, the reign of Artaxerxes. And if you go forward to that actual time of the decree, we would come to this date, 457 B.C., because he actually began to rule in 464 B.C. Remember, when we're in B.C. time, we go backwards. So, starting with the date of 457 B.C., in the fall of that year, when the decree went into effect, we traveled down the quarters of time, 483 years, 69 weeks of years in that prophecy, and it brings us to that glorious event in history. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3 and notice what we read. In the very first verse it says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, something wonderful happened in that time. And we're going to find out in that year that we see Tiberius Caesar, who began his rule in 12 AD. We go 15 years later and we come to a date, 27 A.D. And what happened that year? We underline the 21st verse and the 22nd verse. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Think of it. That time, exactly 483 years, had come to an end. Jesus, the Messiah, is anointed at his baptism. The very fall of AD 27, God's clock struck on time. Now, immediately following his baptism, Jesus was taken by the Spirit into the wilderness and had a short stay there. And following that, he came back. He began preaching the gospel. So let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1 and notice here in verse 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled. What time was Jesus talking about? What time was fulfilled? I believe he meant the 69 weeks in that prophecy. The 483 years, literally, were fulfilled exactly on time. God's great clock had struck the hour. 27 A.D., Jesus appears. He is baptized. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. He begins his ministry. Well, we've used up 69 weeks of years of that prophecy. Remember, the prophecy in that first portion of time that was mentioned was 70 weeks are determined or cut off for the Jewish nation. Now, the difference between 69 weeks and 70 weeks is what? It's just 1 week. That's 7 prophetic days, which equals 7 literal years. So by adding 7 years to the date of 27 A.D., we arrive at what date? 34 A.D. That's right. Well, what happened in A.D. 34? The special day of opportunity that had been given to the Jewish nation came to an end. The apostles began to teach the gospel to the Gentiles. And when Stephen was addressing his message of a crucified and risen Savior, clearly and definitely to the Jewish Sanhedrin, it says that they stopped their ears and ran upon him. The Bible says that he was stoned, the first Christian martyr. And that climax, my friend, the 490 years allotted to the nation of Israel. So in A.D. 34, the gospel began to go to the Gentiles. And who was the one whom God called especially for that work? Notice what we read here in Acts chapter 7, starting with the 58th verse. It says, talking of Stephen, "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Stephen was dead. Died in Christ. He was stoned. At whose feet did those men put their clothes who had stoned him? It was Saul. But who was Saul? He was a prominent Pharisee, brilliant and fearless. But on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, he came face to face with Jesus Christ. It's a thrilling story of conversion. You can turn to Acts chapter 9 and verses 3 and onward, and you'll find the whole story. And it says there, "And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven." And then verses 4 to 6 says, "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' Now Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, was converted and later was used by God to preach Christ and him crucified. He became a great apostle to the Gentiles." It's told there in Acts chapter 13, verse 46. "Now the 490 years are over." These 490 years, though, were to be cut off from that long time prophecy of 2,300 years. So if we subtract 490 from 2,300, what is our result, you mathematicians? 1,810 years. Now let's add those 1,810 years onto 34 A.D. And where does that bring us to? The year 1844. What was to happen then? Well, friends, the truth that had been trampled into the ground was to come to life to the whole world. God's truth concerning the heavenly sanctuary was to be cast to the ground. The conquering religious political power was to practice and prosper for a period of time. How long was this to go on? How long before God's truth was to be revealed? How long is God's truth going to be trampled underfoot? Until 1844. Then God's last warning message will go to the whole world. The truth concerning the heavenly sanctuary was to be preached. Friend, I purposely left off the very heart of this prophecy. If we go back to Daniel chapter 9 and notice the 26th and the 27th verses. "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, for hundreds of years, the Jewish people have been bringing a little innocent lamb, morning and night, to the door of the earthly sanctuary for a sacrifice for their sins. But this Bible verse says that the time would come when Christ, in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, shall cause the sacrifice of these lambs, to cease. Now, what was the purpose of the sacrificial lamb? It pointed forward to the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. But now, in the midst of the week, this prophetic week, Jesus stops all this sacrificing of lambs. How did he do it? Well, in Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51, we read, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." When Jesus cried, "It is finished," and died, Christ's death brought to an end the entire service of the earthly sanctuary. There was no more a need to sacrifice lambs which pointed forward to the time when Jesus would die for the sins of the world. Why? Because out there on yonder cross, the true Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, died. The Lamb of God had paid the price. He died for your sins and mine. For 3.5 years, by Christ's own ministry, he confirmed the covenant with the Jewish nation. Then the disciples confirmed that same covenant with the Jewish nation for an additional 3.5 years. In the very midst of the 7-year period, just 3.5 years from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was cut off, the year 31 AD, in the spring of that year. The hour had struck. The Lamb was slain. Can anyone doubt his divinity? Can anyone doubt this prophecy? Why, friend, this prophecy was sealed by the very precious blood of Jesus. This prophecy is certain. Every date, every event is sure. It has been documented. History has confirmed it. And I believe that this prophecy should rivet your faith, my faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, He is Lord. Can you say today, "My Jesus, I love you"?
You know, my friends, I remember the first time that I heard this study about the coming man of destiny. And the minister who was giving the presentation was so confident about the dates that he was mentioning. And I was so unconfident as I listened. And so I certainly recommend to you on this particular tape that you watch it again. And maybe again, until it really becomes straight in your mind. You know, I was just looking at the chart here on the back of the lesson guide. And you know, as I go through these dates here, I wonder how many actually know right now the significance of this, of the date 457, AD 27, AD 31, 34, 1844. Bill, you have to help us to understand what is the significance of all of this. I mean, what is so important about this prophecy?
You know, I think that more than just the dates, to first of all recognize that God has a prophetic time clock.
Yes.
That whatever he does in his time, but he always does it right on time.
Right on time.
He does not delay when he decides something. And then to realize that he has set up kings, he has set up rulers, he has set them up at a specific time. It's all been put right there. And all of these things are to indicate how precise God is. And then, the most important part of this whole study is to pinpoint our Savior, the Messiah. And the very heart of this study is to help us to better appreciate the lengths that God went to for us.
I remember first when I heard about this topic, and I started to do some math, and my math didn't seem to work out because there's a problem there because of the time change between BC and AD.
That's right.
Could you maybe explain to the folks of how they can know, you know, how this math can actually work?
Right. Well, first of all, one has to recognize that there is no zero date, because you go immediately from 1 BC clear to 1 AD.
AD.
Right. And one has to recognize that when they're doing that math.
Yes. And so it can be a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you agree with me that they should study the pamphlet very carefully, our lesson here, and especially the diagram. I would like for them to take the diagram and just keep it in their hand and listen to the tape again so they can understand it, because it is important to know that Jesus really is the true Messiah, that he came right on time.
And you know, Roy, I think that the more a person studies this kind of topic out, the more it begins to gel.
Yes.
You know, the first time I studied it, I didn't understand it. But the more I thought about it, and then besides just the dates, I wanted to get the message of this study.
Yes.
That's what's important.
Exactly.
And then these dates, they really then come into place.
So what we really need to pray about today is that God will enlighten their minds, that they may truly be able to understand God's word and understand how to interpret this prophecy so that they too can have that blessed hope in this Savior.
Let's go to prayer right now and join with me, will you? Father in heaven, I'm so thankful that you've given us your word to study, to understand, to give us a better appreciation of what you went through to save us. And Father, even in this fascinating study, to help build our faith that you indeed are in control of what is going on planet Earth.
Amen.
And that you set up your own timetable. And that whatever you do on time. And because of that, we can have confidence to know that indeed you are going to come again to redeem us. And Father, I pray that as we continue to study on this topic and others, we will appreciate more the Lamb of God that was slain for us, that we might have life eternal. Father, I pray that you'll bless every listener now, every viewer, and I pray that you'll bless as they study further. Strengthen their minds, Lord, and may they choose to follow you every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.